To succeed, just let go. This is Willie Horton, exploring how we must and can take control of our state of mind and transform our lives. You're very welcome.
As some of you will be aware, I ran a series of free online events over the last 2 weeks, culminating in a number of new online program owners, new additions to the community, the family of the Psychology of Success online program. And no doubt, in the next couple of hours, some of them will turn up on their first program owners Zoom and discover that there is a safe place in which we can all move forward effortlessly together. And you see, you must remember, and I often say this to people with whom I meditate in groups early in the morning, we must remember that there is power in numbers. And that is a scientifically proven fact. When we allow our energy flow for ourselves, it is powerful indeed, because we are universal energy. When we allow our energy flow together with like-minded people, that has an impact even on the rate at which this planet vibrates, even on the electromagnetic pulse, the Schumann resonance of this planet. And you know, this planet actually needs us to turn up to the here and now, needs us to be present, needs us to be tuned in, needs us to know what we need to do moment to moment, so we don't, like people who are operating on automatic pilot, react to what's going on and do what we don't need to do and make critical situations even more critical. We see that all the time around the world at present. If you are one of these people who is finding that the world is trying to suck them down some rabbit hole, of course, it isn't the world that's trying to do it. It's people, often with no particular agenda other than the fact that they're mindless, normal, crazy people. People on social media bringing other people with them down to a place that has no relationship whatsoever with the reality of the moment. Now, the reality of the moment is awfully important, because the reality of the moment is your life. Pure and simple. People often talk about focusing on their goals. You can't focus on your goal, because your goal is something that hasn't been achieved yet. Focus is something that you do in the here and now. Focus, indeed, the definition of focus is almost identical to the definition of mindfulness, that I'm deliberately paying an unusual amount of attention, preferably all of my attention, to the reality of the here and now, to the task in hand, and as a result of that, I am immersed in the here and now, to the point where I enter what the University of Chicago calls flow, a state of mind where I forget myself. Now, that's what the research actually says. What the research means to say is that in that state of flow, I forget who I thought I was. In other words, I forget my conceptual self. I forget all the misgivings I might have learned about myself during my formative years, and I discover who I really am. I discover the real me. Now, so many people with whom I've worked have said to me, what do you mean by the real me? Who is the real me? And the real you is an essential part of the universe. The real you is someone free of thought. The real you is someone who simply is. That's why it's important that we remember that we're human beings. We're not human thinkings. We're not automatic robots. It's just that the way in which evolution provided us with the brain that nature intended has led us to a point of being automatic robots, not just dictated to by our own automated way of thinking, our own automatic pilot, but prone to being manipulated by others. We need to stand up for ourselves. And in particular, that starts with standing up for my life, meaning your life in this case, obviously. We need to remember who the most important person in your life is. It's not your children, for example. Let me dwell on that for just a moment, because over the years, obviously over almost 30 years at this stage, I've worked with people who had lost themselves, or at least thought they had lost themselves. People who thought they were stuck. People who felt as if they were drowning. People who wondered where their happy-go-lucky 20-something selves had gone. People who were weighed down by the burden of responsibility, weighed down by stress, weighed down by the cares of the world. And these people operating out of the kind of notions that they were given that you shouldn't have a good life yourself. We've talked about that before and how people often feel that they are undeserving, would tell me when I met them first that they were going to take charge of their state of mind, this is a quote, for the sake of my children. And I would say to them, you're fooling yourself. That's a lie. If you're not going to do this for the sake of yourself first, you're a danger to your children. If you're not in charge of your own state of mind when you're bringing up young children, you are recreating the circle of normal, crazy behavior that will bring your children inevitably down to the point at which you think you find yourself at this moment in time. And that is why you will have often heard me refer to people claiming to love their loved ones. If you don't turn up to the here and now for your loved ones, you're fooling yourself and you're doing damage to your so-called loved ones. So therefore, the first key point I'm making is that we need to take charge of our state of mind for ourselves. You're first in the pecking order in your life. If you don't take charge of your own state of mind, you're a loose cannon. You're a hand grenade with the pin pulled out. You are going to go around automatically reacting to what you think is going on, pouring fuel on flames, making already difficult situations even worse. And of course, in the process, you're going to reconfirm to yourself that you are not deserving of the kind of life that way, way, way deep down you would love to live. Have I gone off on a tangent here? No, I haven't, because the first point I wanted to make was that you are the most important person in your life. People have said to me, oh, that sounds awful selfish. It is the least selfish thing you will ever do. You see, selfishness, in the way in which that is normally understood, means that I'm doing stuff for me. I'm doing stuff for my ego. I'm doing stuff to make me feel better because I don't feel good about myself in the first place. That is not what we're talking about here at all. We're talking about letting all the thoughts that would have you misbehave in that way, letting them all go so that you discover who you really are. Now, again, as I said a minute ago, people often say to me, well, who's the real me? What do you even mean by the real me? Let's look at it from the perspective of quantum physics. You are a part of the universe. You are made up of energy. You are made up of the same flowing energy of which everything is made up. Your body is a vessel for flowing electromagnetic energy. If your mind is all over the place, your electromagnetic flow is blocked. And as I've said a couple of times recently, if your mind is ill at ease, the blockages that that causes to the flow of your own bodily energy will result in a body that is diseased. And it works the other way around too. The number of people with whom I am currently working who are experiencing the health benefits of looking after their own state of mind is a joy to behold. It's the only way I can put it. People with serious illnesses, people with terminal illnesses, who are in a completely different place. As one of them said to me, I'm in the clear. A completely different place simply as a result of their taking responsibility for their own state of mind. Now, as a result of, for example, recovering from a serious illness, you are now in a better place for starters, an obviously better place to be there with your loved ones, to look after your loved ones, to offer yourself to your loved ones, those loved ones who may have been overburdened by having to look after you. And that's just another little example of the way in which we spread our own love as a result of loving ourselves. I recollect a conversation I had with a client a number of years ago. It's one of the few times in my life that I have actually not avoided being sucked into what could only be described as marriage counseling. So I had a husband and wife on a Zoom, tearing each other apart. It would have been funny if it weren't so serious. And I stopped the conversation mid-rant and asked the lady in question, "Do you love yourself?" And she said, "What do you mean?" I said, "Well, actually, I'll ask the question exactly as I really mean it." I said, "Do you love yourself unconditionally?" She said, "I haven't a clue what you're talking about." And therein lay the problem. Until you are at peace with yourself, you'll be at war with everybody else. You need to love yourself. To love yourself first. Only when you love yourself first can you actually love those around you. In the same way as the airline steward or stewardess will tell you, only when you've put your oxygen mask on first will you be able to help others with theirs. Let me circle back to the start of this episode because I was going to say something completely different. By the way, this often happens. I will often sit down to record these 30 minutes or so with the intention of saying one thing and something completely different comes out for the simple reason that I am in flow. Now, before we go any further, and perhaps, in these 30 minutes, I will get around to talking about what I originally intended to talk about, but let's come back to the idea of flow for a couple of minutes. Flow is a scientific phrase coined by Mihaly Csikszentmihalyi and the University of Chicago in the 1980s. The people who are really having a ball, living the moment, doing what they need to do effortlessly, describe their experience of daily life as a flowing experience. That is where the word flow comes from. I am completely in the here and now. I am immersed in the task in hand, whatever the task in hand might be. And I am so immersed, just effortlessly doing what I'm doing, that I forget who I thought I was. I forget my own misgivings about myself, which of course encourages me to even flow all the better. But when I'm in flow, time bends. We talked about that in the last couple of episodes, how on the day before you go on holidays and do things that you had been procrastinating about for days, weeks, or even months beforehand, you just deal with everything. You're surprised at how easy it is to deal with the things that you had been putting off, and you find that time has flown, or perhaps you got so much done that you're wondering whether time had actually stood still. The research shows what Einstein explained to us in the 1920s, that time is relative, and that when one is in flow, time can either feel as if it is speeding up or slowing down. We discussed that in the last episode, and I would urge you, if you're interested in that, to go back and listen to the last episode, which was all about little old you. Anyway, it's neither here nor there at this stage. What I want to talk about here is what happens when you're in flow and how things become so clear when you're in flow and how it feels like you're doing nothing when you're in flow. I had a conversation with a client with whom I had worked for about 15 years before we actually had this conversation about 5 years ago, when he said he was feeling that he was totally unfocused. Now, obviously, I've been teaching people how to focus properly for almost 30 years. So to hear somebody with whom I'd worked for 15 years telling me that he was feeling completely unfocused was slightly alarming. So I said to him, "How does that actually pan out in your daily life?" He said, "I seem to be doing very little." I said, "Right." I said, "And are you getting any results for doing very little?" He said, "Oh yeah, everything is falling into place." He said, "Things are just happening for me. Things are falling into my lap." How many times have you heard me use that phrase? He said, "Things are literally effortless, and I'm getting so much more done than I ever thought I would have got done in the course of an ordinary day. With the result that I have loads of time during the course of the day to do some of the things that I would love to do for myself, my wife, and my children. I said, you're actually describing focus. You're actually describing flow. When you said you weren't doing much, and then explained to me how many things were simply happening for you, the kind of results you were getting, what you were actually explaining is effortlessness. And that's what we have been talking about in this podcast for months and years. When you are in flow, you have to do very little to get extraordinary results. By the same token, I responded to an email just a few minutes ago from a girl who I met for the first time last April, 12 months, when she became an online program owner, who at the time was seriously stressed, thought there weren't enough hours in the day. I don't know where she thought she was going to get an extra few hours. There's only 24 hours in a day, but she thought there weren't enough hours for her to do what she needed to do. She was working and still is working for a large multinational organization, a very high-powered job. And she was basically on call morning, noon and night because she's living in Europe and the corporation is a United States-based organization. So she was working 6 days a week. Perhaps she was also doing a bit on the seventh day, the supposed rest day of the week, working flat out, having no time for a life, is more or less how she described it to me. But as I say, I responded to an email from her a couple of minutes ago in relation to some new adventures she has going on in her life, something that she describes as her passion, something that she is investing more and more of her energy and attention in. She doesn't just still have the big job with the multinational. She got promoted a couple of months ago and is achieving more in a four-day week than she could ever have imagined herself achieving in a six-and-a-half-day week. And during the course of each and every day, finding herself with additional time on her hands to do the things that she is passionate about. Her life has been transformed. What's changed? Well, first of all, she has more work from her corporate job, so that changed. But what actually changed was she's achieving more with more work as a result of doing less, because what she is doing is just the right thing in the right way at the right time, because she is focused, because she is in flow. When you're in flow, as I suggested a minute ago, time bends. And one of the key features of flow is time seems to slow down in the moment. Now, you will often see this on your television screens when you look at high-performing athletes or sports people. Footballers, for example, who seem to have more time on the ball to do exactly what they need to do, which an ordinary player couldn't even begin to believe they would be capable of doing. The fact is that people in that state of flow have more time on the ball. It's not a perception. It has nothing to do with the ticking of the clock and the fact that there's 90 minutes in a game of football. It has to do with the individual's perception of being in the moment and the individual's perception of time. For people who are completely in flow, everything slows down so that they can just effortlessly, perfectly do what they need to do. And you don't need to be a high-performing sports person to achieve that state of being. All you need to be is you, someone who is committed to developing their ability to flow, someone who is committed to developing their ability to focus properly in the moment. Somebody who is committed to the somebody called you. Somebody who is alive to feeling and experiencing the reality of your energy, your flowing energy as part of universal energy, unimpeded by the thoughts that hold normal crazy people back. If time slows down when you are in flow, wouldn't it be a good idea if you slowed yourself down? As I said right at the beginning of this episode, I had just completed a series of online events last week. The series ran for almost 2 weeks. I was working 12 to 14 hour days for 10 days in a row. Now, as I alluded to a couple of weeks ago in a video, I wasn't working. I was having what Irish people call the crack. I was having fun. I was on my game. I was having a ball. I was doing something that I loved for people to be able to better themselves. I was going to say that at the end of that series of online events, we decided to take a break in the Black Forest in Germany. And I'm only back from the Black Forest, by the way. But actually, that isn't how it worked. Let me explain exactly how it worked, because this whole thing happened in flow. About 8 weeks ago, myself and my wife said, well, we head off to a little place called Badenweiler in the Black Forest for a few days just to allow ourselves to slow down. So we booked 4 nights in a hotel, little hotel with thermal baths that we'd been in on a number of occasions before. The perfect place to slow down. And we booked it from last Friday night, the 19th of September, to yesterday. We came home last night. 4 weeks ago, in fact, 4 weeks ago today, after the last of our children went back to Paris after their holidays here over the summer, myself and my wife were sitting outside having a glass of wine, and I said to her, out of blue, I'm going to do a big series of free online events. She said, when? I said, before we go to Badenweiler. She said, are you crazy? She said, you've nothing done. Where did this come from? I said, it just occurred to me. Now, a few weeks earlier, the idea of going to Badenweiler had just occurred to us. Then, at the end of August, doing that series of online events just occurred to me. Just occurring is equivalent to aha moments, having insights. If you like, your energy receiving messages from energy. If I can put it in the language of the flow research, we're talking about being spontaneous. There was no planning involved. When I decided to do the series of online events, I decided from absolute scratch, because I'd never done anything exactly like that before, and I hadn't even a word written for an email, nor had I got any video recorded. It was all done in the space of those 2 weeks, and it was all done effortlessly, and I had a ball. We had a ball here over the last couple of weeks. As I said a minute ago, we had the crack. But then we went to the Black Forest and deliberately slowed down to the point over the course of 3 or 4 days of doing almost nothing. Floating in thermal baths, like flowing in a sea of energy, which is in fact the reality of how we are when we are in flow. It is the reality of who you really are, the real you, so to speak. And when we slow ourselves down, we actually speed up. And what I mean by that is, for example, let me double back again. Sorry, if this is all over the place, it's just coming out spontaneously. But when I sat down with a glass of wine after our kids had gone back to Paris, everything had slowed down, and that is when we had the aha moment of doing the series of online events. The same with floating in thermal baths over the last couple of days. Completely slowed down, completely immersed, obviously in the water, but immersed in the moment, completely at one with what I was seeing, feeling, hearing, smelling and tasting. Completely in the moment, a whole slew of new ideas occurred to me. And over the course of those couple of days, myself and my infinitely better half made a couple of key decisions that were on no agenda. We never even had discussed these things before. Just in the quiet and peace of the moment, in the clarity of the moment, some important things in our lives became clear. And some important non-decisions were made. Now, if you were through my free series of online events over the last couple of weeks, you will know what I'm talking about in relation to non-decisions. People have often said, for example, to us, oh, moving to France was a huge decision with three young children in 2002. No, it was a non-decision. It occurred to us that that was the right thing to do. It felt like the right thing to do. In the same way, as I referred to one of my friends recently who set up his own business, a risky business, at 58 years of age, people said to him, it's a huge decision you've just made. Now, some cynics actually said to him, oh, were you fired? Did you have to set up your own business? But we leave that aside. That's just the nasty behavior of normal, crazy people who don't want you to be different from them, who, heaven forbid, would see you becoming a success. They just don't want that. But this guy, a number of people said to him, God, that's a huge decision you've taken at 58 years of age. He said, it's a non-decision. It just simply felt like the right thing to do. When we slow ourselves down, we actually get ourselves into the place that those high-performing athletes and sports people are in when they are weaving their magic. You need to slow yourself down. You don't need to wait for yourself to get to the point where you think there should be 36 hours in every 24-hour day so that you can do what you're struggling to do because you're thinking about how you don't have enough time to do it. You need to deliberately slow yourself down, because in slowing ourselves down, we speed the whole process of moving forward in our lives up to the point where things just occur to us, when we have insights, aha moments, when we make decisions about things that we were never even considering thinking about, when all good things begin to flow and flow effortlessly. The easiest way to slow yourself down is to give yourself a few minutes meditation time in the morning. I got an email from somebody just this morning who said that he didn't have time to get into some of the material with which I had provided him because he has too many things on at the moment. And did I have any suggestions for him? Or perhaps it might be a good idea for him to meditate more in the morning. And as I replied to him, your email is typical of so many emails that I get, that people ramble on and on in an email with a number of questions. And before they've finished writing the email, they've answered their own question. Why? It's cathartic to actually write an email like that. It is cathartic to actually allow yourself articulate what's rattling around in your own head, because when it comes out loud, very often you'll realize you already know the answer to a question that you didn't think you had in the first place. I said to him, you're right. You've answered your own question. Give yourself more time by setting aside just enough time in the morning to meditate. And enough time, by the way, is 8 or 9 or 10 minutes. Don't be fooled into the rituals that some meditation teachers tell you are a necessity, you know, that you must meditate for 20 minutes in the morning, 20 minutes in the evening, or 60 minutes in the morning. Who's going to meditate for 60 minutes in the morning in this busy world in which we live, unless you're a monk? None of us actually wants to be a monk, or at least most of us don't want to be monks. We want to live our lives like we really mean it, having the crack. Third time I've said that in this episode. Slow yourself down. The easiest way to start that process is with your morning meditation, but I have a suggestion for you, that at some point over the next couple of weeks, you might give yourself a few hours to do nothing. It is what I called in a video somewhere on YouTube, it's probably 10 years ago, a video that was entitled The Lost Art of doing nothing. The business that I have, the online business, the Thursday morning videos that have been going out since 2008, all the stuff that I provide to people is all as a result of sitting on the balcony of our chalet up the mountains in 2007. Sat there for 3 hours, didn't move a muscle, didn't have a drink. And I don't mean a drink of wine. I just sat there. There was nothing at all, nothing to write with. I just sat there. And at the end of it, I came in off the balcony and Lisa said something to me. I said, hold on a minute. There are two or three things that occurred to me over the last couple of hours that I want to write down. I got a bit of paper and a pen, and a half an hour later, I had finished with 31 items on a list. The 31st item, which some might describe as an afterthought, was the idea of sending out free videos every Thursday morning, something that I'm still doing and something that you need to sign up for if you're not getting them. You can use the link in your podcast player. The following day, I was chatting to our next door neighbour. This was the place we lived up the mountains before we moved 600 metres lower a number of years ago. And when we'd moved in there first, we built the chalet, and when we moved in, the guy next door to us asked me, what did I do for a living? And I explained to him what I did for a living. The morning after I'd been sitting on the balcony for 3 hours, I bumped into him and he said, would you mind telling me again what you do for a living? I said, why? He said, because I often see you sitting out on your balcony and it occurs to me that actually you do nothing. And I said, you're quite right. I spend an awful lot of time doing nothing, because in the silence of doing nothing, in the clarity of doing nothing, everything that we need to move us forward in our lives occurs to us. We have those aha moments that our thinking minds could never conjure up for us. We have promptings from who we really are, the energy of the universe that is flowing within us. The key message in this week's episode is slow down. Because it is in slowing down that we discover that we can do everything that we need to do effortlessly without thinking about it, but rather allowing the real person that we are prompt us to do the right things in the right way at the right time, free of thought. It is in slowing down that we move forward faster.
You've been listening to Succeed, Just Let Go. Hope you've got a little something to help you transform your life today.